Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
My grandparents were health nuts. That's what they called them back then. And they raised my mom to be the same way. She raised me to be the same way. And my grandfather used to always say when I was little, you should eat to live, not live to eat. Well, Andrea, I'm so excited that we have Joel Fuhrman, MD. He is fantastic. You've probably seen him on PBS, heard him on the radio, and seen him on other television outlets. He's one of my favorites. Hello, Dr. Fuhrman. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me here on your show.
It's so nice to have you on, Dr. Fuhrman. I've seen you on PBS. I've seen you in some of my favorite documentaries, Got the Facts on Milk, and many others. Why don't you talk to us about when you chose a vegan lifestyle and why you think that is so important for people and what it means to eat to live, not live to eat?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on a mission to have people not have heart attacks and not have strokes and not get cancer. And the bottom line here is that nutritional science has made exponential advances in the last 10 years, and we can design diet styles to stop 90% of heart attacks, 90% of strokes, 90% of cancers. We can really revolutionize the health of Americans in the modern world by teaching people how to eat a healthy diet. And I don't call what I do a vegan diet. I call it a nutritarian diet, because a nutritarian diet is rich in those plant derived phytochemicals and antioxidants that arm our body against disease, and it can be modified to be a vegan diet or one of those small amounts of animal products as condiments, but certainly it's heavy in these protective plant factors. And and even talking about, you know, my new book just came out, my Eat to Live cookbook, it's literally showing people they don't have to give up the flavors, the pleasures, the different cuisines from around the world. You can do Chinese, Thai, French, desserts, sauces. You can still use nutritarian cooking. You can make a different style of salad dressing, a different way of making ice creams out of frozen fruits and mixing little nuts for creaminess. You can a whole different way of making even like a meatloaf out of mostly mushrooms and onions and oats and all types of then beans and flavors and spices. That, in other words, the science has advanced, the cooking techniques have advanced, and why not have a population that doesn't have to get so sick and doesn't have to have these life-threatening diseases cut short their life?
I love that you're saying that, Dr. Fuhrman. You know, I've been recently really researching minerals, and it's been part of my passion in the past several months. And can you tell us a little bit about why, you know, Americans and Canadians or North Americans as a whole are so deficient in minerals and vitamins?
Well, the American diet right now is 60% of processed foods and about 30% from animal products. And animal products, so that means that most of our calories are coming from foods that are highly calorically concentrated and have cancer-promoting hormonal effects, like they raise insulin and IGF-1, which we can go into if we have the time. But like you're saying, is that processed foods have lost most of their vitamins and minerals in the processing, and they don't contain those phytochemicals. There's more than 1,000 different phytochemicals that are necessary for the body's immune defenses to fight cancer. And also those phytochemicals are needed to prevent you from storing fat as well. And those phytochemicals are found in what I call, and mostly in GBOMs, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds, which are the foods that have the most powerful levels of those anti-cancer ingredients. And what we're finding in modern nutritional science is those most powerful anti-cancer ingredients also have the anti-fat storage effects. So they also prevent the body from storing fat. And the same foods that prevent you from getting cancer keep you slim. And the corollary is also true. The same foods that make you get fat make you get cancer at the same time. So yes, the American diet is that processed foods like white bread and salad oils and mayonnaise, donuts, cookies, cooked soft drinks don't contain a significant micronutrient load, and animal products do not have phytochemicals and antioxidants. So if we're eating mostly animal products and processed foods, then we're simply not eating the foods that are obviously fruits and vegetables and beans and seeds and mushrooms that are giving us the protection against disease. We're not eating those foods. So it's not primarily that the soils and the foods grown don't contain the nutrients. The primary reason people are micronutrient deficient is we're not eating the foods that are naturally micronutrient rich.
Yeah, it makes such a huge difference. What did you call yourself again? A nutritarian?
Nutritarian. I recommend people
eat
a nutritarian diet. So, you know, so it's not defined, you know, because as you know, a vegetarian or vegan diet might be designed to be very healthful, but it also might be designed to be not healthy. It all depends on what type of vegan diet you're on. Just like a diet with some animal products can be designed to be healthy or not. But what I am saying that any time you eat more than 10% of calories from animal products, as you go higher in animal products in a diet, and your diet is not predominantly from natural plants, then you're also promoting a hormone called IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, that's going to promote breast cancer and prostate cancer and dementia and other diseases. Because we shouldn't be promoting the growth of tissues, which promotes the growth and the proliferation of cancer cells when we age. So, you know, science has changed, and so much of the data out there about dieting is based on old information that now has been, we could say, you know, no longer supported by the preponderance of evidence.
I like what you're saying. You know, if just to go back to what you said before, you know, 60% of us are eating processed foods, 30% animal products, and 10%, I'm guessing, is the unprocessed fruits and vegetables, if I was to, you know, do the math. What would you say would be the ideal ratio? Should it be, you know, obviously, you know, if for some people, because there are some people like who follow the paleo diet who do eat some animal products. What if we were to rearrange it to the optimal percentage
exactly.
In terms of what we should be eating, what would it be?
Right. I'm saying every person that follows a paleo diet is following a diet that's going to promote cancer. Because the American diet already has 30% of calories from animal products, and they're promoting increasing that to 60 to 80%, which is exceedingly dangerous. But the other part is that the American diet is 60% of calories from insulin-promoting processed foods, which also promote cancer. So the point is, playing around with the percent of calories from animal products versus processed grains is not going to have effect to lessen or, you know, make a diet better. We have to reduce processed foods and reduce animal products both, and in their place eat more vegetation, more high-nutrient vegetation. So the answer to the question is, I don't see any reason to eat processed foods when no reason to eat white flour and white sugar, or even oil for that matter, when nuts and seeds supply you with more flavor, more taste, more nuances, and have lifespan promoting effects for your fat. And there's no reason to eat white flour when you can use whole grains and it tastes just as good. There's no reason you need to eat sugar when you can sweeten with dates and apricots and get more flavor and mango. There's no reason to eat those disease-causing foods. And as far as the animal products are concerned, we can still get the flavor from animal products if you really love that taste by mixing a little, let's say, meat in with a bean mushroom loaf, or mixing it a little bit, or using it as a condiment in a wok dish. So I'm saying is that as you go over 10% of calories from animal products, you start to see IGF-1 levels going into the dangerous range. So if you're deciding that you still want to use a certain amount of animal products, you should try to use it sparingly and get the most flavor out of those animal products in your cooking technique, rather than sitting there and eating a whole piece of meat or turkey at one, you know, as the major focus of the meal, like a paleo diet would, which I'm saying obviously is not the way we should go.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, Dr. Furman, doesn't it, Andrea?
No, it absolutely does. And, you know, Dr. Furman, this is such a broader discussion, but unfortunately, you know, we have maybe a half a minute left. So I want to thank you. We would love to have you back on the show, because I think what you have to say is so important. And I think most of us, you know, we want to eat healthier, and we just need to know how to do it. So hearing from you is super special. So thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, and thank you guys for having me. And of course, it's very exciting. It's just getting the information out to show people that healthy foods can taste great. And it's not about giving up. It's about actually including more delicious and gourmet recipes that actually are healthy too, you know?
Amen. I love it. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Furman, visit drfurman.com. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio. Thank you for listening. Stay well.